real quickly, tell me some of the churches that you belong to. How many belong to the Baptist Church? Would you raise your hand? Let's give them a big welcome, everybody. That's beautiful. We're glad to have you. How many belong to the Methodist Church? Would you raise your hand? Thank you. Let's give them a hand. Thank you, everybody. How many belong to the Brethren Church? Would you raise your hand? Come on, we didn't miss the Brethren, I hope. All right. Now, how many belong to the Nazarene Church? Let's see your hand. Okay, tell me what church you belong to then. One at a time. Real loud. I didn't tell you to do it that way. Four Square Church, thank you very much. All right, others? Missionary Church, thank you very much. The Church of God, thank you very much. Presbyterian, thank you very much. Any Catholics here, would you raise your hand? Yeah, there they are. Thank you very much. We appreciate that. All right. I would ask you for Jews, but I presume we don't have any tonight. Any Jews present? Would you raise your hand? No. Well, we will have. Bless God. We are delighted to have every one of you in our class. We seek just to teach the Word, rightly dividing it, and not for a denomination. I don't belong to any particular denomination, but that God will be pleased when we reach heaven, you see, that you rightly divided the word of truth. And that's all we want to do. We don't want to build up anything. We don't want to tear down anything. We don't want to hurt anybody. We just want to love everybody. And we just want to teach truth. And God laid this so strong upon my heart that we didn't know sufficient about the Holy Spirit, and that we should delve into it and see what we can find out of it. And I believe that before these classes are over, that we're all going to know more about the Holy Spirit than we ever knew before. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Good. Now, you're working on lesson 10. That's not the television number. That's just the number in your teaching syllabus on page 39. And it is related to the Holy Spirit in the life of Christ. If you would... turn over on your blank page there, which is right across from 39 there, and write down prophecy of Christ and the Holy Spirit. We would like to include that into the lesson. No life on earth has so overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit as Jesus was, as we're going to notice that. The presence of the Holy Spirit was evidenced in every phase of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. And this one that we're going to speak about, first prophecy of Christ and the Holy Spirit, in Isaiah 11 and 2, if you put right under that, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord," that's Jehovah, "shall rest upon him, and the spirit of wisdom and understanding, and the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of Jehovah." Now, this was about 700 years before Christ was born, and already, wouldn't it be nice to get to have meet these prophets? I'd just like to talk to Isaiah for a long time. What an amazing revelation that he gave right here in Isaiah 11 and 2. S with a capital there, and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit that comes forth from Jehovah, that he will rest upon him, and that's what we're going to study about, the Holy Spirit in the life of Christ. And that Spirit will be a spirit of wisdom that will rest upon him. As you know, he performed such wisdom, and they said, "Where did this man get all this learning?" And it came from heaven. And the spiritual counsel and the spirit of might, when he moved into his own, and they saw the winds and the waves obeying him, and they saw demoniacs falling at his feet, and they had a hold of something they couldn't contain, you see. And the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of Jehovah. Also in Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." And this is what Jesus quoted in Luke 4:18. "And he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." And so this was confirmed in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." And so this was prophesied of him before he came. Now, over on page 39 at the top of the page, in Acts 10 and 38, it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. You see, a thing like that, you know, one would like to get it down deep inside and come up with something. He was born of the Holy Spirit, led and guided by the Holy Spirit. And yet, I'd put a little circle around the word anointed. When something's anointed, it's a specific occasion. Anointed, you know, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. And so he became an anointed one by Jehovah with the Holy Ghost and with power. And as you know, power is two things. Power is authority and power is energy. And we have both. When you're energized with the Holy Ghost, you have both. You have authority. You can speak and people can't gainsay it. And then you have energy to do things that otherwise you never would be able to do. And Jesus had of Nazareth had a power who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And so Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who lived in Nazareth, was anointed of the Holy Ghost. At his birth, at the birth of Christ, he was born of the Holy Spirit, as we have been studying. And Luke and Matthew's Gospel 1:18, the birth of Jesus was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And so when he told the Father in heaven that he would come and redeem mankind, his entrance into the affairs of human persons was through the instrument of the Holy Ghost. And so he was born. The only person that's ever been born of the Holy Ghost in all the annals of human knowledge is the Lord Jesus Christ, born of the Holy Ghost. And then we find at the beginning of his ministry, there was a confirmation of this. And the Holy Spirit witnessed at his baptism. In John chapter 1 and verse 32, he saw it. He says, I saw it and I bear record of it. And told how Jesus came down to be baptized of him. And he said, I need to be baptized of you. And Christ said, suffer it to be so for the sake of righteousness. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3 and verse 13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. And comest thou to me? And Jesus said unto him, suffer it to be so, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And then John suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And so, that you know, if you study these things very closely, you find out tremendous truths. He didn't get sprinkled, or he wouldn't have had to go up out of the water. You see. And he came up out of the water, and the word baptized comes from a Greek word meaning to duck. Baptizo means to put under. And so he was put under, and then he went up straightway up out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. It says the heavens were opened unto him. That must have been a very strange situation, because they can have so bright skies in that part of the world. And it says they were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending. The Spirit of God descended upon him in the form of a dove, so others would see it. He wouldn't have to have it, but so others could see it. And that it lit upon him. And when that dove was sitting upon him, the emblem of the Holy Spirit, it says a voice came from those heavens that had been opened up for him, saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, a dove is a perfect emblem of the Holy Spirit in his functioning power, resting upon the head of the Lord Jesus Christ at the initiating of his ministry. You know, I'm sure that when we get to heaven, we'll ask Jesus, says, now listen, why did you stick around that place called Nazareth as long as you did? Why didn't you get out of there? Why did you wait until you were 30 before you got out of there? And he'd have to tell you that the devil kept saying, you can't save the world in just 30 years. And Jesus says, I can do it in 3. Yeah. People won't ever hear about you if you don't get going. The devil will always push you faster than God if you'll let him. It's always better to move slowly in the Lord, and then you're sure that you're moving in the Lord. But he stayed there until the devil says, well, I know it's finished now. He says, nobody in 3 years can get anybody's attention. And he says, I can do it. I could do it in 3 months, but I'll do it in 3 years. So they'll know more about me, more about my life, and more about my functioning. And so John says he bore record of it. And that's in John 1 and 32. He bore record of this, and then he told you that he said, Jesus, I know who you are. I know who you are. Don't. I'm not worthy to do this, and I'm not worthy to do it. He says, you do it for righteousness' sake. And there he had three elements. We have the Son of God coming up out of the water. We have the Father God speaking from the heavens. And we have the Holy Ghost God centering and lighting upon his head. Now, if anyone doubts who's in the Trinity, they certainly could get a good lesson right there. And if that's wrong, there might be a lot of things wrong in the Word. But that is not wrong. That's exactly what God wants us to understand. And all the people said?
Amen.
All right. Now, during the temptation, I'd like you to write some scriptures there, down there for me, please. You have room up in your upper right-hand corner of your page there, if you'd like to use it that way. During temptation, in Mark chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, and immediately the Spirit, now that's with a capital S, immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. See, this was a thing that had to be done. That's Mark 1 and 12. And verse 13 says, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of the devil. Now, we don't know. We don't know what was happening during those 40 days. We only know what took place at the end of the 40 days when the devil brushed in and said, if thou be the Son of God. Now, that wasn't a very unusual thing for him to do because Christ had made him and he knew it. Christ had created him. Nothing was created, the Bible says, unless he created him. So he was an archangel created by Christ and knew it. And then he had the audacity to say, if. When he knew he was sure of that. More sure of that than anything in the world. That he was sure of it. Now he'll do you the same way. He says, now if you're saved. He knows you're saved. He says, do you think you're saved? Yell at him. Yeah! He can't stand that kind of language. So during the time of the tribulation, the Holy Spirit was functioning with Christ. It says in Mark 1 and 12 that the Spirit, immediately the Spirit driveth him. And then in Luke chapter 4 and verse 1, it says Christ was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. That's not quite as strong as the Mark put it. Then in Matthew 4 and 1, it says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And so the Holy Spirit himself led Jesus into that wilderness experience led him into the wilderness for him to have this experience for his own strength. And if he hadn't have done this, he wouldn't know how to help you in temptation. If we didn't know how to answer the devil from his experience, nobody would know how to answer the devil. We only know how to answer the devil because Jesus did it. And if you'll always answer the devil the way Jesus did, you'll always win. There will be no chance of you ever losing if you will answer the devil like Jesus did by the Word of God.
Amen.
By the Word of God, if you'll do it that way. All right, over on your right-hand side of your, left-hand side of your page there, make a subheading. Christ possessed the Holy Spirit without any limits to it. And so going into his ministry from the temptation, in John 3 and 34, it says, for he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. So you have made a new subheading over on the left-hand side of your sheet there. And it would be Christ possessed the Holy Spirit without limits of any kind. And then you read from John 3 and 34 that God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. Even things like that, you'd just like to just penetrate them for hours. What does it mean? And then look at his life and see how it worked and look at our lives. He was the one that had the flow of the Spirit, the faucet open, without any limitation to it. I mean, oceans, Pacific, Atlantic, oceans. He had the movement and the flow of the Holy Spirit without any measure. No man could measure the flow of the Spirit through him. And like John said at the end of his Gospel of John, he said if all the things that he were done were put in the books, even the world could not contain the books. So we don't want you to feel like we got it all. We've got the beginning of it, but we don't have it all. And you'll also find, and make another subheading on that same page for me, Christ cast out devils by the Holy Ghost. That's in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 28. It says, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Matthew 12 and 28. It says, if I cast out devils by the Spirit, capital S, by the Spirit of God, then for sure the kingdom of God is come unto you. So the ministry that he performed was by the amazing power of the Holy Ghost that conceived him in Mary's womb, brought him into the ministry, and through that Spirit, the devil was given an open opportunity without any holes barred to do anything he could to him, to try to deceive him, to try to get him to bow down to him or anything. And then he came back under the breath of the Spirit and began his function and his operation. And in that point, the Holy Spirit worked through him without any limits, without any measure. And he cast out devils. He by the Spirit broke bread that fed multitudes and carried on that amazing life. But I have something else to carry on with you here. And that's point number four. Point number four on page 40. At the time of the crucifixion, the Holy Spirit gave witness at the crucifixion. In Hebrews 9 and 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. Now, it is amazing that not only did he was born of that Holy Spirit, not only did he use that Holy Spirit in his ministry to others, but it says here that it was through, and it's with a capital S, with that eternal Spirit, he was able to offer himself unto God. You see, that makes me think that we may be doing more in the Spirit than we realize that we're doing. Right down in this, within 2 or 3 miles from right here, I was kneeling and praying in the afternoon and was praying for missions, just crying out to God, send out missionaries to the world, Lord. And the Lord spoke to me and said, I've chosen you that you would go to Manila, Philippines. And I'll do more for you there than I've ever done before in your life. And the things that followed that were so phenomenal in the Spirit. Not one place was it natural in the Spirit. I gave up the church in the Spirit. I went to the Philippines in the Spirit. And then the thing that moved the whole nation was when a little girl was supernaturally healed in the Spirit. You see, and through that we had an entrance to the president's palace, to the mayor's palace, and to the millions of people in that country. We had an entrance to those people until when you get through with it, you say, "Well, did I have anything to do with it at all? My carcass was along there, but nothing related to it has to do with mine. Nothing related to it has to do with strength, and so." Maybe the Spirit's doing more in your life than you think, you know. That's the reason why we have to study this. We may not be identifying the wonderful things that are happening in our lives. I told the people here last Sunday evening that a man of German birth came to see me, and he lived down south of Warsaw. It takes him 2 hours to drive here to his house. And he was in a meeting where I was asking for television money, and that I asked for $1,000. And he said, nobody would raise a hand to give $1,000. He said he had not had a job in several years. And that he had no money and was living on his wife's little salary. And God inside of him said, give $1,000. He didn't have 1,000 cents, much less dollars. And from his inside, he said, I'd like to give the first $1,000, please. He came into my office last Sunday. He stayed here all day to get to tell me this. I didn't have time to tell it, and he stayed here all day to get to tell it to me. And he said, Well, then just a few days, I got the best job I've ever had in my life, and I've still got it, and we've got plenty of everything we need. You see? You know, if you do what God tells you to do, what the Holy Spirit tells you to do, God can do fantastic things for you that you can't do with your mind, that you can't do with your strength. It is not a natural situation. It is a supernatural. But now, if we don't identify the Holy Spirit with what He does, all He can do is do less. You see, all He can do is do less. So whatever He has done for us, we should be willing to say, hey, I'm so thankful the Holy Ghost is moving. I want Him to move more, and I'll give Him the glory for it. At the crucifixion, the Bible says in Hebrews 9:14, that through the eternal Spirit, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, that Christ was able to offer Himself. And so, the greatest thing He ever did, He had the anointing, the blessing, the encouragement, the comfort of the Holy Spirit in there. And I'm expecting the same thing in my life. Yeah, that whatever I do and whatever I take, that I'm expecting the unction, the anointing, the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to rise up within me, that I won't be less of some wrong. I'll be one of the sons of God. And that may be the whole thing that God wants us to get into our hearts and lives regarding the Holy Spirit, that He's already much more prevalent than we've given Him honor for and thanks for, and that when we move into that, we're going to find Him greater than we've ever known before. Glory be to God. Your point number five, you've already had seven, but keep it number five if you like. It's Mark 5. At the time of the resurrection, in Romans 8:11, you can add in there, Romans 8:11, if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, say you.
You.
Turn to each other and say you.
You.
Good. If the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead. So not only was the Holy Spirit there at the crucifixion, because the Bible says through the eternal Spirit He offered Himself. Now, at the time of the resurrection, He was witnessing there. If the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead, if he dwell in you. In Romans 1:4, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. And so the whole of who He was is concentrated upon that resurrection. If He did not rise from the dead, the Bible says we'd still be in our sins. And so He is declared to be the Son of God with power upon this premise, that the Spirit raised Him up from the dead. And that's where He got it. In 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened, or made alive by the Spirit. It was the Spirit that did it. The Holy Spirit Himself that did it. In the ascension, your point number six, the witness of the Spirit can be seen at the time of the ascension. In Acts 1:2, unto the day in which He was taken up, after that He, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen. Isn't that amazing? That just before He went to heaven, that He taught them through the Holy Ghost, just as He was taken up into heaven. Your point number seven there, five paraclete statements. The word paraclete is a Greek word for comforter. He is our comforter. There are five or more of these paraclete statements. One, the Holy Spirit is a revealer of Christ. In John 16:14, He shall glorify Me, He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. And so He is a one that reveals the glory of Christ. B, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. John 14:17, even the Spirit of truth, which the world can't receive because they're not holy. And C, the Holy Spirit is a teacher. John 14:23, but the Comforter, which is the Paraclete, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things. So he shall teach. And a D that you can put in there, please. Separate that first D there. I've got them renumbered here. The Holy Spirit quickeneth. Jesus said in John 6 and 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The words that I speak are spirit, and they are life. And so the paraclete statements of the Holy Spirit after the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ is that he will reveal Christ, that he is the Spirit of truth, that he is a teacher, and that the Holy Spirit does quicken, it's his business, and that he does bear witness, John 15, 26, when the Comforter is come, which I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. He bears witness. His ministry is to bear witness. And when he comes to you, he will bear witness of Jesus. He will not speak of himself. He will not do anything for himself. He will witness of Jesus. His witness is of Jesus every time to make Jesus greater. Now, that's another thing that I'd like to know a lot more about, of how this part of the Trinity can so exalt the other portion of the Trinity. Verse 27 says, And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. And your next point there, it says the Holy Spirit is a guide who declares things to come. John 16, 13, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. And I absolutely accept that. You can be in a false doctrine. If you walk softly before God, the first thing you know, you're going to have some divine guidance. It's going to twist you around into truth. We have people in our church that were so far in the boondocks doctrinally, you'd have never thought they ever got out. And the Holy Spirit just brought them right into the center, believing the Word of God, walking in the Word of God right down Main Street. And we believe that God does that kind of thing. Can you say amen to that? Now, he also said he should not speak of himself. That's what I was just telling you there. The humility of the Holy Spirit is one of the most remarkable things, that deity also has humility. He shall not speak of himself. Whatsoever he shall hear, that means he is listening to God the Father and God the Son. Whatsoever he shall hear, that's tonight, tomorrow, unto the end of your days. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Only what is heard in heaven will he speak. And he shall show you things to come.